Canucks Central Friday. It's Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? And of course, you can be a part of the program, should you choose. If you are listening live, 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text line. The Bridge Street Dunbar Lumber in Ladner has moved to Progress Way in Tilbury's Industrial Park. More products, more awesome. Details at DunbarLumber.com. All right. There's a lot to get into today. It is the day after yet another stinker on home ice for the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, tough. Really tough. And it's not one of those you sleep off and feel better about.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you know. It's like at least you got to see Lekkomäki.
Yeah.
Score his first goal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess, is that the only redeeming quality about that game, that in Canucks history, at least it'll be night that Lekkomäki scored his first goal.
You will always be reminded,
especially
as he goes on this run to Calder contention this year. It's going to be tough to catch Matvei Michkov. I'll make that concession here today.
He's pretty good, the Michkov kid.
The road to the Calder conversation is still available. It's still wide. It's still open. You know,
yeah.
There's not too much traffic on it, so the road to Calder contention is still available, though. Yeah, Matvei Michkov is definitely in pole position.
He is. To be fair to you, you said conversation.
Yes.
I teased you about it a lot, but you said conversation. Never said he's going to win. And hey, good game, great. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, good couple of games. Not for the team, but for him at least, he got his first goal. But yeah, for the paying customer who did not feel like the investment was a good one last night, at least you'll always be able to say you saw Jonathan Lekkomäki score his first goal, right? I mean, that's the only redeeming quality if you were a ticket holder that was at that game that saw Lekkomäki score. Because especially if he's a star, you're like, hey, at least I saw his first goal, right?
Yeah.
But that's the only redeeming quality of the night.
Or they're going to show the highlight of Lekkomäki's going to score his 500th goal, and they're going to show the highlight of his first goal, and you're going to be like,
hey, I was there.
Oh, man, what an ugly night that was. Yeah.
But it's like, at least it'd be like you might romanticize it, right?
Yes.
The next thing you know, they'll be like, hey, this was like Burry's first game.
You took more exception to me saying Lekkomäki could be in the Calder conversation to me saying he could get 500 goals. Just want to point that out.
I mean,
rolled through that.
I can't just always be you know questioning everything that you say, Reach. I was already accused of being a certain word, towards you.
Fair enough. Let's bring in our next guest. This analyst is brought to you by the Magnuson Auto Group, Metro Ford, Port Coquitlam, and Magnuson Ford in Abbotsford on both sides of the Fraser to serve you. It is Yannick Hansen, joins us every Friday here on Canucks Central. How you doing, Yannick?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We are doing well, dissecting what was another brutal home performance from the Vancouver Canucks. It's one of those things, like it's not a talent issue for this team, but right now, like from where I sit, they seem to have lost their work ethic a little bit.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that went wrong yesterday. I mean, it's one of those things where you put up five shots halfway through the game. I think two of them are from the neutral zone. That kind of screams that you're not in the right mindset. The puck is not in the right position. You're obviously not in the offensive zone creating things. That's kind of what stands out to me, because that means you're not playing on the inside. We're on the outside now. You're not holding on to pucks. You're not making plays. So like you guys spoke about Lekkomäki's first goal there. I think after that, there was not a whole lot of positives. Again, it's always great to see a guy get his first goal. It's something you'll remember for the rest of your life. So that is a positive to take out of there. It's a young player they're trying to bring in, being put in a situation where he got to produce. You saw the quality there. It's a good shot, quick shot. Should Sorokin or Valama have had it? Probably. But again, he found a way to get it through, and that's what goal scorers do.
Well, he's now played a couple of games. Do you see some real quality as far as being able to stick in the lineup for him?
I think it's going to take more time. He looks a little small. Foot speed looks like it's not quite there at this level. He can shoot. There's no question about that. But it is, you need to be able to get yourself in those positions to those positions in throughout the game and by yourself and all those things. And that takes time. It takes some learning. He's doing great in the American League right now. So it'll probably require him going back and forth a couple more times, some seasoning, if you will. But definitely the shot is there, which is what you want to see, because it's very hard to develop a lethal shot, if you will. Develop the nose for where you need to be, how to get there, when to get there, how to play these players that are a lot better than the ones you're used to. That takes experience. That takes time. Playing on a small ice versus large ice, which he's played his whole life, so it's there's a lot of things that counts against him right now. But again, like I said, it will take some time, back and forth bouncing and stuff like that. He has some of the qualities that looks like that maybe he can stick, but again, time will tell.
Were you surprised to see him on the top unit power play right away?
No, because they haven't been producing. And again, he can shoot, so it's one of those situations where let's try to put this guy in a position where he can get his shot off and see if it's still something different at these other teams. Because right now, the things we have going for us on the power play are not a whole lot. So as a coach, you're kind of forced to try different things, experiment a little bit, mm-hmm. shove it to your usual guys, if you will, as well. Like these guys that are, okay, well, I'm pretty set. This is my spot in the power play. Who's going to come and take it? Well, now there's a young kid here, and maybe he's going to score a goal. And like now you light a fire under you, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll see ultimately, you know, how he fares as the season goes on here. And, you know, as far as the efforts on home ice, this is now three of their last four on home ice that have been really poor, and the fans have left very dissatisfied. What do you make of playing like that in front of your home fans? Because we know there's a saying in hockey, if you want to be bad on the road. But you can't be bad that often and that quickly in succession as well.
No, it's a little bit mind-boggling, to be honest, because they play some really good games on the road. They get points, and then they come home, and it's, dud after dud. And it's not like the Islanders are this imposing team. Like, the Islanders are bottom-of-the-barrel kind of picking team, so it's one of those teams they should beat. But they find a way to come out unengaged, uninterested almost, and then it's hard to play in this league because, like, they do have some players that are good. They do have players who can score, and when you aren't your best, you're going to lose. And for some reason, there are a lot more of those at home that are on the road. So whether that's their routine, they're back at home now with their families, they don't get the sleep, they don't get the rest, they don't get the prep that they're used to. I don't know what it is, but they need to find out, because again, I don't think the win percentage on the road will continue throughout the season. It will get harder to win on the road as well. So they need to find a way to straighten the home ice out and start winning some of these games.
Yeah, and I think their preparation, something about that sticks out, because the starts have just been continuously bad. Even the other night, they go on to beat Calgary, but not the greatest of first periods. They were down 1-0 at the end of the first against the Calgary Flames, who'd played a billion games in the last couple of weeks, it felt like. So it's, I don't know, it feels like we've rewound the clock and had some of the similar conversations that we had to about 2 years ago or just before Rick Tocchet had come into town. It feels like those types of bad habits have crept back in.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. Like when you start questioning preparation, motivation, performance and stuff like that, that's never good, because that's the individual. That's the pride you're poking at now. The coach's pressure last night obviously speaks volumes. He knows it as well. He's not happy with it. So you hope that he's going to nip this in the butt. I mean, it has been a couple now. It has not been nipped so far. And they're fortunate that they're playing so well on the road and they're getting the points. That's probably the reason why they're sitting in the position they're sitting in right now. But you want to get this straightened out as fast as possible. Because if you start losing on the road now as well, now you start tying together these longer losing streaks, and then you'll drop in the standings real fast.
The coach has mentioned a couple times, and he alluded to it again last night, that they have presented the players with a game plan, and they believe the game plan would have been successful, but the players have not followed through with that. When a coach says that a couple times, what does that tell you?
Well, the coach can't tell you to go finish a check, or he can, but he can't do it for you. Mm-hmm. He can't tell you to win a puck battle for you. He can tell you to go out and do it. But it's, again, hockey is, it is 5-on-5, but it's like you have to win your individual battles all over the ice, in front of the net, in front of their net, on the boards, around the blue lines. And if you don't do that, and you don't do that consistently throughout the lineup, you will not win. And that's the individual player here. That's not the systems. It's not the layup. It's not how do we want to play against these guys. No, that's the individual preparation. What are you willing to do in order to win this game for the team? And that's what you're kind of questioning right now.
Yeah, and you know, the record isn't bad. They're 10th in the league in points percentage. The record is more than fine for where they're at. But as one of the other things Rick Tocchet alluded to, like, this is the kind of thing that, you know, if it doesn't get changed, we're going to lose six or seven in a row. And the schedule has been soft to this point. It's, you know, going to come fast and furious now over the next 30 days or so. So it's one of those things like, yeah, you're in an okay spot right now in the standings. But if this continues, well, we might be having a much different story, a much different conversation a month from now if nothing changes.
Yeah, and then it is one and done once playoff comes, for sure, because you can't win like that. And that's probably a bigger fear for them because, again, the Pacific Division is not strong enough that they shouldn't be able to cruise their way to a playoff spot. It looks that way, so they do have some leeway there. But that's not a success criteria either. They need to straighten this out. They need to be a good, sound team. Otherwise, they won't win. Because the teams we're going to be playing, first round, second round, they have more talent than us. Yeah, none of them has Quinn Hughes. But whether you see Jack Eichel, McDavid, or the depth on D in Vegas, like, you're not going to win against these teams. If you aren't at your best. And again, it starts in the regular season. You need to be able to rely on systems, all those strengths that you build through 82 games. So when you do play a game 5 where things aren't clicking for you, you can still win a hockey game just by being sound, relying on tells and signs and systems and strategies and all these things that you've implemented over the last 6 months. But if you're sputtering and fluttering through the regular season, you will not win these coin toss games that will happen in the playoff. Yeah, you'll squeak out a win here and there because of extraordinary performances, but you will not win series consistently if you don't have everything going for you.
Is this one of the, I guess, adjustments as a team that's not creeping up on anybody anymore, right? Like, the Canucks were the surprise team of the first half last year, and they carried that all the way through to a Pacific Division win. But this year, they're not surprising anybody. Every good team that's coming to town is not taking them lightly. Is this one of the adjustments they're having to make as a team that's considered among, you know, playoff cup contenders?
Whether they're a cup contender, I don't know if I'd agree with that. They might consider themselves that, but on paper and playing wise, I don't think so. Are we a playoff team? Yes. But when you start looking around at the other teams that are legitimate cup contenders, I think you still have a step or two to go here. You have quality, don't get me wrong, and you have things other teams don't have. But depth-wise, the way they're playing, it doesn't scream that way at me right now. So until they start showing that, you are what you are. Like, if you quack like a duck, it sounds like a duck, it probably is a duck kind of thing. And it's too long now. Like, it's since the beginning of the season, in the playoff, towards the end of last season, they haven't played this consistently where, hey, we are right there with the best, and if you don't show up playing the Canucks, you're going to get steamrolled. That's not what it looks like right now, and it hasn't looked like that for quite a while. So that's where all these questions start creeping in. And it's not like the personal is that much different. Results definitely are different. And, yeah, we don't have Demko and Knepp. But Demko is not going to run a breakout. He's not going to add any more shots to the shot clock against the Islanders. That is the players in front of him, and that's what's lacking right now. Because goaltending has been good. Nothing wrong with the way they've played Lankanen. Yeah, Silos have not been great the games he's been in there, but they've gotten good goaltending from a third, fourth stringer. So they keep finding these players that contribute for the team. But again, at some point, the core needs to take over and drive the bus.
You're right about the core, right? Like, we know we spoke the other night about how, at least against the Flames, they had Pettersson going and they had JT Miller going, and both guys looked good. And I was, okay, that first time we saw that happen all year. But one guy that, you know, last year the team acquired Elias Lindholm, and he was a big part of their team, and he really helped them out and really elevated them in the postseason as well. And the big acquisition they've made this year has been Jake DeBrusk. Now, obviously, it's different money, too. I mean, Lindholm is getting over $7 million, and DeBrusk is making around $5.5 million. It's a bit different as far as the commitments to each player. But the hope had been for Jake DeBrusk to find another level and become a consistent contributor. And he's still very much looking like a player looking for his game. What do you think of what you've seen from him so far? And what should expectations be for him moving forward?
Yeah, I think it's important to remember Lindholm in the regular season, too. Because that was not fireworks in any way either. Mm-hmm. It took him a time to find his game and the value he provided. No question, it was in the playoff. In the playoff, he was the player they traded for, but it took time to get there, and it'll be no different for DeBrusk. The difference might be that it's harder for a winger to come in and make an impact because the puck doesn't really go through you. You need your centers to find you, so to speak, where Lindholm, when he comes in, well, the game kind of revolves around him when he's on the ice and he's at the center position, so you're a lot easier to get in and take control, where DeBrusk, he's relying on his center finding him, the breakouts, where am I going to go, call signs and all these things, so it might take a little bit longer. He's been scoring a little bit more now, which means that monkey is off his back, and he's not worried as much about that. But again, you're wanting a little bit more, some consistency. You still see every time you turn on the news and the Canucks, it's like you're changing in the lineups again. You want some consistency, but that consistency aren't going to come until the team start playing better. Because the coaches won't change a winning lineup. When things are going and gelling, you get to keep playing together. But right now, it's like bad games. So we'll switch it up. Another bad game, new guys get the chance. And it's very hard for a new guy to come in and get comfortable set when the rotation and the lineups keep changing. So it's definitely not a benefit to him that the team is playing the way it is.
Are you seeing better signs from Elias Pettersson?
Yeah, he's starting to produce a little bit. Again, I'm still waiting for the statement that, you guys call me, and the reason we won this game was Petey. He took over. He was an all-star. He was top 4 or 5 center in the league. We're still waiting for that. He's better than he was 2 weeks ago, no question about that. But you know him, and I know we've seen him play. He can be so much better. Steps in the right direction, but small steps.
Yannick, we appreciate the time as always. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. Take care.
There is Yannick Hansen, never holding back, here is our Friday analyst. This analyst brought to you by the Magnuson Auto Group. It's Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah as the Canucks are reeling a little bit from last night's loss, and I think Rick Tocchet is certainly searching for answers as to why his team is playing the way that they are. And, you know, as Yannick mentioned, they're going back to the well with a couple of lineup changes. And as we saw at practice today, Bluger, Joshua Garland reunited, and Kiefer Sherwood getting a bump up the lineup to play next to Elias Pettersson and Jake DeBrusk, something we saw, I think, at least once in preseason.
Yeah.
And now we're getting a regular season look at it as well.
Yeah, and I think a lot of this is a reaction to what we saw last night. Not necessarily about Pettersson. Mm-hmm. Because again, Pettersson was solid last night, and not that it matters because, you know, the team obviously wasn't good enough, but we know that there's even more to his game. I don't think it's directed to him. I think it's a lot about Joshua.
Yeah,
we'll get into this a bit more, you know, the next segment, of course. But Sherwood's going to give them forechecking. He's going to bring energy on that line. The question is going to be, how can he play off of them in the offensive zone, and can that be something that can actually stick? That I have questions about. But I like to see it as far as trying to create some more energy, a bit of a different look. And this, I think, also creates puts more of an onus on Pettersson to really drive the line.
Yeah. And, you know, we've seen Pettersson, Not that I want to make a big deal of it, but like, are you allowed to find a positive in last night's game beyond Lekker Mäki's?
I mean, you're allowed to do whatever you want. I mean, it's fine to do. It's fair to do. It's just, I mean, I don't think anybody cares. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. But yeah, I mean, you thought Pettersson was their hardest working player last night?
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not saying much.
Yeah,
it was
a low bar. Yeah,
low bar that everybody else set. But
that's why it's not like this big talking point. But yes, like if you looked at the good parts of the game, it was Lekker Mäki, Lankinen.
Yeah, and probably Pettersson. He had 9 shot attempts. I mean, I think the next closest forward had 4. In the third period, when they tried to make some kind of a push, Pettersson seemed to lead the charge in that. You know, these are really grasping at straws for positives, because most of what we saw, certainly what I saw, warranted a negative reaction. And I'm sure most of you felt that way about last night's game as well. We'll get into some of that in the open. The lineup changes and more coming up next on Canuck Central.
The most opinionated Canucks show out there. Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drance. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.